What's on your Christmas menu? Turkey, chicken, ham, all the regulars? The seasonal feast is integral to celebrations across all religions. But increasingly, Christian leaders are questioning not only the way animals are treated in factory farming, but the ethics of consuming them at all. Instead of having dominion over the animal world, they want to be good stewards. Producer Nadia Delgorley takes up the story.
Where is God in this? Why is there so much suffering in the world? You know, not just human suffering, there's suffering in all of life.
If we were to seriously investigate the implications of not visiting unnecessary cruelty to animals through our farming practice, perhaps 98% of the current animal products available would be off the table for Christians.
Professor David Clough, and before him, Elizabeth Young from the Sisters of Mercy. You might be surprised to learn that some of the most passionate campaigners for animal rights have been Christians. In fact, it was they who started the RSPCA in London in the 19th century. And while much of animal activism over the last 100 years has happened in the secular world, some say this is now changing in important ways. Professor David Clough teaches theological ethics at the University of Chester in the UK. He argues that Christians have faith-based reasons not to consume animal products.
So Christians don't have the luxury of thinking that the God that they worship is a God just for them. This is a God whose activity is on a cosmic scale. And so it would be very strange for Christians to think that the animals that we find about us have nothing to do with our faith. We read in the Bible of a God who cares for all creatures, who provides food and water for them, and animals in the Psalms and elsewhere are recorded as praising God in response. And therefore, we can't just look at them as mere material for our ends.
But how do you get Christians thinking about that and about animal rights when the dominant belief is that humans were the only beings created in the image of God, and that puts us at the centre of creation with dominion, as the Genesis story says, over animals? In fact, you've said in some of your writing that most Christians don't see the link between their faith and the way they treat non-human animals.
I think the issues of dominion and image of God have been one of the places that we've gone to when we've wanted to justify the exploitation of other animals. But I think if we think well about what those texts are saying, that the last thing they do is justify the kind of exploitation that we're engaging in at the moment. If we look at Genesis 1, for example, in the very verses where it's declared that human beings are uniquely made in the image of God and have dominion over other animals, a couple of verses later, we read that human beings are given seeds and fruit to feed on. So whatever that dominion meant in context, it can't have meant the right to take other animals for food. We have to wait all the way till Genesis 9 until God gives permission for that. If we're truly to be images of the God that we worship to the rest of creation, that can't be imaging God by being cruel to the other creatures that we find ourselves among. That's not the kind of God that we worship. We worship a God who is gracious, who shows ultimate grace and love. And so I think we need to think really seriously about what it means to image that kind of God to the other creatures that we find ourselves among. And that means to ensure that everything that we're doing in relation to them is respectful and compassionate and caring. And that's so far from what's going on in modern systems of intensive production that Christians ought to be among the first to recognise that something has gone very badly wrong.
David Clough, the facts on factory farming are troubling. Animal rights organisations such as Voiceless say that in Australia, more than 500 million animals suffer each year on factory farms, and most of us don't get to see this. And activists say animals are treated cruelly. Pregnant pigs spend much of their lives in cages with no room to move, and are killed when they can no longer produce piglets. Meat chickens are condemned to live only 6 weeks instead of their normal lifespan of 12 years. And millions of baby male chicks are ground alive as wastage each year. It happens, animal groups say, because it's practical, cheap and disturbingly legal.
Lovely to meet you. Thank you. You're doing great work.
Thank you.
This is Neva Hartman from Heartacres Animal Haven on Sydney's southwestern fringe. Today is an open day and people have come to visit the rescue farm she founded. She says most of the animals have come from situations of neglect and abuse.
We've got animals that have come from really, really nasty, nasty abuse cases. We've got ones that are just 12 years on their own, so the horses were on their own for 12 years. We went and got them, goats that were being fed alive to dogs, stuff like that. So every single one is different and every single one is just as important, I think. We rarely take surrenders purely because of the size of us. We're just over 10 acres. So we try and keep the animals that are coming here or keep room for the ones that need rehabilitating, like the horses and the donkeys and that type of thing. The calves are probably the ones we take as often as we can, purely because the dairy industry is ridiculous. I think it's 450,000 bobby calves in Australia every year get slaughtered. So, you know, if we can take 2, 3, 4 or at least find them homes, then, you know, we're at least doing something, because standing by and watching that happen is not on.
Well, David, you go out and talk to groups about this issue in the UK, and I wonder if you can talk about what happens when you explain some of the factory farming methods that are used, especially in relation to eggs.
Yeah, I think audiences that I speak to are often really surprised to hear what we're currently doing to farmed animals, and really surprised at the mismatch between the values that they warm to about Christians recognizing other animals as fellow creatures of God, and to hear what's actually going on. One of the things I talk about is that all commercial egg production relies on the killing of male chicks in the laying strains because they're of no economic value. They are dropped live into a grinding machine called technically a macerator, which is thought to be the most humane way of dispatching them. And so whenever we're eating eggs, we're complicit in the system, which seems to me to exhibit the most willful disregard of the worth of lives of other creatures. We're consigning billions of male chicks at a day old to these macerating machines. Unfortunately, that's every commercial egg production, so that's free range and organic. That's a shock to the audiences that I speak to. You can almost hear an audible gasp in the room when I mention that kind of example.
These mournful cries are cows calling out for the calves that have been separated from them in the process of weaning. Sometimes the calves are separated permanently, sometimes it happens for a short period. The sounds were recorded by Sister Elizabeth Young from the Sisters of Mercy on a recent visit to her family farm. She says she made this recording as a witness to the cow's pain and to mark what was a turning point in her thinking about animals.
Well, I didn't think of the cattle as really having feelings or really having worth in themselves, perhaps. It was just a norm of life growing up on a cattle farm that these animals were being brought up for meat and they were animals that didn't concern us. I didn't think of them as calling for compassion. And every year we'd have the weaning of the calves from their mothers, and it was just background noise, and it was background noise that went on for days and nights. But going back last year, I heard those cries, and they really impacted me, and the fact that they kept going on and on, and I thought, wow, we don't even do this as humans, cry for days. Well, some people do, but they kept going, crying for their children.
Well, last year, evangelical leaders in the US put out a statement of principles called Every Living Thing around the issue of animal protection. It doesn't give any directive on factory farming or animal experiments, for example, and it says that humans have greater worth than animals. But how significant is it in getting Christians to focus on animal rights?
I think that is a really significant moment. conservative evangelicals in the US have been thought of as most resistant to concern for animals or wider environmental concerns. That statement says that we need to recognize that other animals are God's creatures and we need to avoid treating them cruelly. And it's a moderate statement. But avoiding treating animals cruelly in the current context of what we're doing to animals in intensive farming systems is a really radical statement. If we were to seriously investigate the implications of not visiting unnecessary cruelty to animals through our farming practice, perhaps 98% of the current animal products available would be off the table for Christians.
I think starting with what we as Catholics have valued and have done in the past, I think is a good way, because compassion is a key value for us. We have multiple ways of instilling compassionate values into children, into adults. It's about broadening that a bit more and referring to things like Laudato Si, which Pope Francis put out as a teaching document for the whole church and the whole world, actually, as something the whole world needs to look at, how we're treating the rest of creation.
Yeah, I think that was a really exciting moment alongside that Every Living Thing statement. For me, it feels like a tipping point. For me, it feels that the church is regaining its sense of an understanding that Christian faith has implications for how we think about and how we treat other animals. And it's long overdue, in my view, but has a really significant potential for Christians to influence how other animals are treated, especially in relation to farming.
I can read about things that really shock me, and particularly things in the chicken industry, for example, the egg industry, the pork industry. But I think the thing that has impacted me the most was actually being on a bus going between Melbourne and Sydney, and there was a chicken truck that had half of its cartons had tipped out, and we went for about half an hour over these dead chickens on the road. The truck was in front of us, and just seeing all these chickens that were massacred, really, that there was no regard for their lives.
And what was going through your mind as this was happening?
I was really questioning God and suffering. I wrote a poem about it. The same questions people ask when they go through disasters and natural disasters or wars or things like that. Where is God in this? Why is there so much suffering in the world? You know, not just human suffering, there's suffering in all of life.